Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and we're taking a little look this morning at our Old Testament reading from the Daily Lectionary as we make our way toward the daily study of the New Testament reading at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Today's reading from the Old Testament continues in that book of Ezekiel. Remember from last week, golly, what a tough book. It has got some challenging passages, and today's no less than any other. We're not going to read the entire thing. I don't think we have time really to pull it apart. I don't want to leave you hanging on some of the hard stuff we're going to see, well, some of the language that you might not expect to find in the Bible. The Old Testament prophets, they could be earthy. Let's just say it that way, as they chided us for our earthiness, and by that, really, you know, our wretchedness, our sin. So we'll kind of take that up as we get to it. We're going to start at chapter 43, verse 1 and following, where Ezekiel says that he, and this is an angel or a messenger that's been leading him and talking to him, he led me to the gate facing east, and he's talking about the city of Jerusalem, which, remember, has been torn down. It's in shambles right now, and the temple as well, which he's kind of moving around and is going to be talking about in just a moment. All of this has been torn down and is missing, but he's kind of having this vision of seeing it put back. He's been taken to the gate of it facing east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was coming from the east, and the sound of his coming was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. Right. So he's at the temple that's now, I guess, is it torn down? He's going to measure it, though, so I don't think it is. I don't think it's torn down, but he's at the temple, and he sees God coming back. Right? God had abandoned them. The Ark of the Covenant had been taken away, but God's not done with Jerusalem. He's coming back from the east, and the sound of him like many waters, right? So have you ever been near the waves on the beach or the crashing of the shore, right? It's so loud, you can barely hear yourself think. And the vision I saw was just like the vision that I had seen when he came to destroy the city, and just like the vision that I had seen by the Chebar Canal, and I fell on my face. So this is he's remembering now. Last time this was destruction, and he's terrified. Verse 4, and the glory of the Lord entered the temple by the gate facing east. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. So God comes back to his temple. Now, you know what this is? This is a prophecy of Jesus. Jesus is going to come back, right? They tore down the temple and destroyed it because of the faithfulness. He's going to talk about that in a minute here, too. But he's first showing the image, the prototype, the foreshadow that God's going to come back to his temple. And how? Not as a cloud this time, not as a box, but as the tabernacle of flesh and blood that is the incarnate word, right? That wisdom made flesh who dwelt among us. We just were talking about with the Proverbs. And while the man was standing beside me, Ezekiel says, I heard one speak to me out of the temple, and he said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the people of Israel forever. Which is exactly what Jesus does as he comes to his own, even though his own do not receive him. And saves us, redeems us, buys us back. So this is a promise, what he says here. And the house of Israel shall no more defile my holy name, neither they nor their kings by their, now here's where it gets earthy, right? By their whoring, and the dead bodies of their kings at their high places. Now, he's talking about not actual adultery, although there certainly was prostitution going on. It was part of the pagan religious system that Israel had begun to participate in that leads to their destruction. And those high places are the kings offering sacrifices up on the mountains like the pagans around them did. But this isn't condemnation here, although God's not happy about it. But no more shall those things be among us. Right? That the God has come to dwell among his people to remove the idolatry of our hearts from us, right? To remove how we would set up our thresholds and the doorposts and the wall between us and God. He's going to get rid of that. Now, he is honest about how bad this is. They have defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed, he says in verse 8. So I have consumed them in my anger. That is the wrath that he poured out when he destroyed Jerusalem, when he destroyed the temple, the wrath that he poured out when he killed Jesus, so that he could pour out his wrath against you on Jesus. So that, 9, now let them put away their whoring and the dead bodies of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in their midst forever. This is exactly what Jesus is going to mean this week, Matthew chapter 4 in the 3-year lectionary, when he comes preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That is, turn from what you believed and believe that I am enough, right? That I've come to do the work of God. And here's this next section. It's really beautiful. It's what that work means. He says, as for you, son of man, talking to Ezekiel, describe to the house of Israel my temple, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and they shall measure the plan. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the temple, its arrangement, its exit, its entrances, that is the whole design, and make known to them as well all its statutes and its whole design and its laws, and write it down in their sight, so that they may observe all its laws and all its statutes and carry them out. This is the law of the temple. The whole territory on the top of the mountain all around shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the temple. That is, if you know your sin, if you know that you are not righteous, that there is none righteous, no, not one, if you confess your sin, then God is faithful and just to dwell upon and in and with you, to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Look, the temple, it was destroyed, but no, it's not. God went away, but no, he did not. Because God from the beginning has known our problem. He's not holding out a stick with a carrot on it saying, come on, you guys can almost make it there. Try a little harder. No, 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 no. God has known since the fall what must be done. Blood needed to be shed. And all of this is preparation to show that on this mountain, this holy mountain, you would have a lamb of perfect price, without spot or blemish, more valuable than all the gold, silver, and gemstones in the entire world, come and offer himself meetly as a right and proper offering to satisfy that wrath of God against the whoring and abominations of our dead bodies and our high places and the idolatry of our hearts. He would take our place on the cross and make God dwell with man again. Again, Ezekiel chapter 40, selected verses, something worth getting a little jazzy about.